happens. I'm not sure she quite understands what's going on there. Oh, no. Jessica says, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. Not bad for an 8-year-old. And finally, one final one. A 4-year-old little boy whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman and who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went over to the house, up onto the porch, climbed up into the old man's lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked what he had said to the neighbor, the little boy said, nothing. I just helped him cry. Love is amazing. I like love stories. Love stories kind of warm the heart. This story of Jesus riding into town and everybody waving the palm branches is a love story, isn't it? Isn't it the groom riding in for his wedding? It's his wedding day. And he's riding in to be coronated. And he's riding in and he's driving a Dodge. He's driving a Dodge. It's true. I'm going to try this out. I tried it on my family and they didn't get it because he was riding in on a caravan. Yeah, it didn't work this morning on the way to church either. Okay, he was on a colt. Does that work a little better? No, that doesn't work any better either. Nobody drives a colt. Jesus is riding in and it's his love story. And he's riding in and he's excited because it's his wedding day. He is the groom and he's coming into the church. He's about to be coronated and it's a wedding day. His whole life, everything in life is about this love story. He loves us, you and I, and he calls us his bride. Isn't that a beautiful love story? And he'll do anything to marry us, to get into that relationship. And he comes riding into town and people are waving these palm branches and they're shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's a great day. But that day, that wedding day soon turns, doesn't it? It's funny because sometimes wedding days can be the happiest days of our lives. And within a day, they're shouting, crucify him. And sometimes weddings can be both marry and bury on the same day. It's like the little boy. I shared a story one time at a wedding where this little girl, she was at her first wedding ever. And then she's sitting in the aisle. The canon in D begins to play and down the aisle comes this beautiful bride and she's all in white and she looks as the bride whisks by and she's got her white gown and her white veil and this long flowing white train and she leans up and she says, Mommy, why is she wearing all this white? And she says, because today is the happiest day of her life. And then she looks down and she says, why is he all in black? Jesus is coming to his church and it ought to be the happiest day of his life. But I think somebody ought to tug on a collar or on a shirt today and say, how come it's not the happiest day of some people's lives that Jesus Christ came to this earth and married us? Because some people aren't willing to stand before God and these witnesses and say, I do. Many people today will not say, I do. In fact, they will be adamant to say, not only am I not going to say that, but I don't take him to be mine. And so it's not the best love story, but it should be a great love story. And today I've asked Dan, who's finished our house, 10 weeks of building a godly home and home improvement. And today we get to the final thing. We get to the roof. And I want to talk to you about raising the roof when things hit the roof. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when we talk about raising the roof up, the Bible says that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that a great verse? Think about that. Love covers a multitude of heartaches. Love covers a lot of mistakes. Love covers problems. And that's what God says to us today. The roof that we have on our house ought to cover a multitude of problems. Listen, you can have issues in your house. You can have issues in your job. You can have issues in your relationship with God. But if you have love on the rooftop, you're going to be okay. It will be okay. But what kind of love do we put on the rooftop? What do we build that love with? Because some of you say, I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my house isn't so good, Pastor. Things aren't so well. Well, guess what? Jesus had love in his heart to give, and things weren't so well. And I want to talk to you about what you got to raise the roof when it hits the roof. So here's the question this morning. What kind of roofing material will you raise the roof with? And this morning I want to tell you there's a few choices, and it all comes out of the Greek. There's three Greek words for love. In America, we say, I love you. In America, we say, I love that car. In America, we say, I love pizza. In America, we say love for everything, and yet it means completely different feelings. If I said to my wife, I love you like I love the Detroit Lions, I am going to be sleeping on the couch because she knows that's probably not a great love. If I said, you know, she says, how much do you love me? I love you like pepperoni pizza. And she's going to say, well, good, because that's what you're going to be eating all week on your own. You know, we have these things for love. And I want to tell you, when we put a roof on our house, my wife and I, we have a love story of our own. We do. We fell in love. We chose to love. And we have a love story. In fact, to understand some of our love, you need to understand our relationship has this love that we've developed. And we put that roof over our house. And we have a story. My wife and I, we have ways of expressing our love to each other, just like you do. And I have my relationship with God that I express my love to, this kind of rooftop. Well, one day my wife called me and I had a ringtone on my phone for her. So I knew it was her and it was separate from anybody else. And I didn't think I would get in trouble until she called me and I was in the room and it rang. And on my ringtone for her, it was the Imperial Death March from Star Wars. Dun, dun, ta, dun, dun, ta, dun, dun, ta, dun, 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 dun. And she goes, what is that? I went, oh, no, it's her ringtone. Stop it. Stop calling. Don't do it. Some of you have fun. Don't do it, please. My wife's ringtone. And she goes, what is that? I said, that's your personal ringtone. She goes, the Death March? From Star Wars. Well, it's no longer her ringtone. From that day forward, I wanted to express my love to her in a different way and let her know that that is no longer my ringtone. And so I had to change it. And I wanted to change it. And here is my ringtone now for my wife if she calls me. And this is only for hers. And her only. Oh, yeah, but 10 points when you're down 30 isn't so good. Yeah, I was down a few points when she heard that death march. And it was just because, and she understood that. Now, some of you are thinking, well, they've got conflict. Every marriage and relationship has conflict. Every home, everybody that's been a parent, as parents, you understand conflict. We heard from Dan about his boys rolling in their car. We heard about his daughter who had a tumor. We've all walked through conflict in our homes. And I'm telling you, we need a love story today. And we need more than just a love story. We need love that goes beyond what most people build on their rooftops. Say, well, I've got a roof over my head. My dad always said that. There's a roof. I work hard and put a roof over your head. I wanted more than just sticks and stones. I wanted more than the straw. I wanted more than the wood. I wanted his heart. And so when you say there's a roof over, well, there may be a roof, but raise the roof with love. In the Bible, there's three words for love. And the first one, you can build your house out of this, and it's eros. Eros. Eros is the word where we get the word erotic from. And it's kind of this way. When you see someone and you go, now, they're attractive. That's what eros means. It's kind of this. It's just for looks. That's what eros is. It's for the looks. It's the eyes. It's what you see. And you could say, well, we have a roof here over our house. that's not enough because the crowd had Eros love for Jesus. And you may have Eros love in your relationships. You may have Eros love for Jesus. I mean, how can someone... Here's Eros love. One day, we're shaking palm branches, and the next day, we're shaking our fist at God. This is Eros love. I'm going to get a little bit excited here into preaching, and I'll try to be careful. But we live in a world who, in any given moment, when something great happens, we're grabbing and reaching for the palm branches and we're shaking them. Hosanna! Oh, man, my life is great. Thanks for the pay raise. Thanks for answering my prayers. And we start shaking the palm branches. And the next week, something changes in our life, or the next month. And then we do this. God, where are you? And we live in a world. How can a crowd go from shaking palm branches to shaking fists? How does a group go from saying Hosanna in the highest to crucify him? The same group. Many of the same people. We live in a world that has Eros love. It's just for looks. And you know what? Sometimes we try to put this front on to show people my life is together. And we put a roof over it. Folks, that roof is just for looks. I can easily pretend to be a Christian. I can easily pretend to be a good husband. And I want everybody to think I'm just this really good husband and I've got it all together. And my wife gets treated and I'm a good father and my kids. And you know what? We do everything we can to try to squeeze into to present this image. And we spend so much time with that image that sometimes we're not working what's on the inside of that image. And the danger is that we've just put a false roof on, and it's not going to last the weather. And this crowd says, let's crucify him. It's a group that goes 0 to 60 in 3 seconds flat. One day they want to make him their king, and the next day they want to put him on a cross. It's that kind of stuff that we have to be careful of. It's easy. It is so easy to put a front on. One thing you know, if you've been around me, and I know I've been in this community, this is my 11th year in the Port Huron community. It's my second year here at Grace. We're about to finish 2 years. If you've been coming to Grace and you come in here and you say, Pastor, what happens on the pulpit, what happens in the office on Monday is probably what I'm going to see in the golf course or in your home. I try not to put a false front. I want you to know I have a roof. I have a love story. My wife and I have a beautiful love story. And in my love story, I also know this, that there are days that I need more than an image. And if you come and you go, wow, I thought you were the pastor. And I say, yes, I am the pastor. And I need Jesus Christ in my life as much as you do. And I need His grace. And His. And the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sin. We have those things in our house, too. Do you know that it rains on our house? I know some people might not think pastors get rain. Sometimes the lightning just strikes my house. You ever feel that way? The storm goes by and it just hits your house. I said, if one more death happens in my family, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can relate when something happens and then something piles on to something and then again. You can relate to this. I don't need an image in my life. I don't need to put on the fancy clothes and to try to walk straight for you. What I need to do is get on my knees and say, love covers a multitude of sins in my home and with my children and in my marriage. I have a love story with my life, and I hope it'll become a walk to remember. But I'm up on the roof, and I'm hammering away. It's not about image. I don't want to get caught in that. The second Greek word is this. It's phileo. Building a Philadelphia roof. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And this is just for friends. If Eros is just for looks, this one is just for friends. You know what I mean? Peter, do you think he had a palm branch in his hand? Pastor Kevin, we never read that. Do you think any of the 12 disciples had these? I mean, people are throwing stuff out there. Or are they walking along going, hey, this feels pretty good. We're in the crowd. We're part of it. We don't wave palm branches. They wave palm branches. And because I know him, I get into the restaurant. Because I know him, they're waving the branches towards me. And there are some people who are just for friends. The Philadelphia. We build these Philadelphia roofs sometimes. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where is Peter? When it says, could you not pray with me one more hour? Couldn't you stay with me? well, we're just friends. I'm not staying up all night with you. I know you got problems. You know, friends are only friends until they're not friends. That sounds really deep, doesn't it? Let me say that again. Your friends are only friends until they're not friends anymore. I've seen the closest of friends turn on each other and just wonder whatever happened to their friendship. You see, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is great until you upset someone in that city of brotherly love. Do you really think of Philadelphia as the friendliest city in the country? Do you know in the city of Philadelphia, I did a mission trip there. I took a group of kids, kidnapped them, and took them to Philadelphia for a leadership training. We walked around downtown. While we were downtown, we were helping people out, feeding the hungry and doing this. A friend of mine went with a group just recently. I did not know this. That it is illegal to feed the hungry in downtown Philadelphia. And they were arrested and taken before a judge on a youth mission trip. Here's the youth pastor. Call home. Hi. We've all been arrested. For what? What did you do? We fed the hungry and the homeless. They passed the city ordinance in the city of brotherly love that they don't really want these people downtown because it's hurting business to have panhandlers and hungry people and destitute people downtown where there are grates and manhole covers where steam comes out and they can stay warm. No, go to the suburbs and other places. The city of brotherly love. Again, your friends are only your friends until they're no longer your friends. And I have a love story. Now, my wife and I are friends. And by the way, just for looks, we have a love story. Because she's a looker. That doesn't sound good? We understand. And we are friends just for friends. We have Philadelphia love. But that, in and of itself, may not last. Because you know what takes place in this? In the garden, Peter's there, and Peter's all excited. I'm in, Jesus. How late do I have to stay up? Oh, I'm not in that late. And then they arrest Jesus and they take him to Pilate. And what does Peter do? He denies him 3 times before the rooster crows. I don't even know him. So much for friends. Hey, are you with that guy? No, never met him before. Hey, wait a minute. Weren't you walking in that procession when they were waving the palm branches? And he says to a little maidservant girl, Peter the fisherman says to a little girl, curse his name, I don't know him. So much for friendship. You're only friends until you're no longer friends. And Jesus comes back and he says, oh, Peter. After the resurrection, he goes right to Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? Oh, that rooftop. And so the question to you this morning, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? He says, oh, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now, in English, that doesn't make any sense. But in the Greek, it does. Let me give it to you this way. He comes to Peter. The first person he goes to, he says, Peter, do you agape me? And he says, Jesus, you know I phileo you. Peter, do you agape me? Jesus, you know I phileo you. Peter, do you phileo me? Oh, Lord, you know all things. You know I only phileo you. We were friends, but that's only until we weren't friends. And I'd love to be friends again. Do you understand? Palm Sunday should have been a love story, a beautiful story. And we find love has different definitions. And he said, Peter basically said, I'm done. Until it happened. You know, love is an amazing thing. In America, love is really, I do weddings all the time. And people say, I do. Do you know that the average I do only lasts 7 years in America? The average marriage, the average American will only be married to a spouse 7 years. The average. We have this, I do until I don't. Do you know that teenagers say all the time to their parents, I can't wait till I'm 18. It's I do until I don't have to. I will obey you, but I can't wait till I'm 18. We live in a society that says we are only family, we are only friends until we are no longer family or friends. We are married until, hey, I just decide one day I don't. I think it's an epidemic that we need to be careful of because we live in a plutonic society. We live in a plutonic society. We may live together under the same roof, but I'm not sure that we're in love with each other the same. Kids, it's the same thing. You may live under your parents' roof, but it only may be platonically. Husbands and wives, I know this happens. You hear it all the time. Husbands and wives live in the same house, but it may only be platonically. And Jesus Christ says, there are people who go to church, but they may only love me platonically. Do you understand what that means? It means that it's without relationship. That's right. I'm talking about sexual relationship. It's about the physical part. And if you're going to define sexual relationship as intercourse, then fine, go ahead. Most Greek translations and Hebrew translations that talk about intimacy with God has everything to do with a physical interaction, which is the word intercourse. To have fellowship can be translated intercourse. Moses said, I will know God. And he uses the word yada in the Hebrew, which means I will intercourse with God. Adam intercoursed with Eve and said, I knew her. We live in houses where half the houses never intercourse with one another. We need to intercourse. We need to intersect. No wonder why in marriages we don't have roofs that are committed and people in 7 years walk away from these, because they are no longer living in that intercourse. They are living in a plutonic relationship that says, hey, come and knock on my door. I've been waiting for you. But you know what? We're just three's company, too. And all it is I've got company, I go through the motions, I have a marriage, I have parents, I have children, but we go through the motions. And you know that most of the time, the average father spends 5 minutes a week talking to their children in any significant conversation. 5 minutes. There is very little intercourse going on, very little impact. I wonder why the Bible says the two shall become one, not two. And in a family, I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Husbands and wives, you need to be giving yourselves to each other. Children and parents, you need to be intersecting with each other and having relationship of communication and love. You see, we can be friends, but wait till they're 18 and they're gone. We can be lovers, but wait till 7 years is up. And in America, it can be less or more, but life isn't happening. And I'm not sure putting the phileo rooftop on. And Peter says, Lord, you know all things. We're just friends. And then the last Greek word is this. It's called agape, not adobe. It's not a Mexican rooftop. I've been on an adobe, you know, those beautiful rooftops with the little, what are they called? The tile. You can't walk on those things. They break a lot. I climbed on a roof one time. It wasn't good. You don't want to be on those rooftops. Jesus isn't talking about adobe here. He's talking about agape. And if the first love, Eros, is just for looks, and Philadelphia is just for friends, then agape is just forever. And that's what I want to tell you. If there's one thing you take out of here on this Palm Sunday, is when Jesus rode in on that donkey, on that colt, and he made his way, and he saw those palm branches and people shouting, and he was on his way to his marriage. He was on his way to the wedding. As he's making his way for you and I. And then within that week, people are shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And he's hanging on that cross. He had a roof that covered a multitude of sins. And he looked at the audience and the crowd, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you know that he was ready to say, I quit? In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 26, he's praying. He's at a rock. He's kneeling at that rock and he's praying. And he says these words, Father, I quit. I'm not going to do this. You ever felt that way in your marriage? I quit. I can't put up with them anymore. Are you kidding me? Look at these people. Look at this woman. Look at this man. You ever feel like quitting? These kids, I can't go on with these teenagers, my son, my daughter, I quit, I can't be a parent anymore. Or kids saying, I quit, I can't put up with this anymore. Jesus is at a rock in the Garden of Gethsemane and he says, Father, I quit. He does. He says, if it's possible, take this cup from me, I quit. And he's sitting there, and you know what holds him? Not Eros, not something that's good looking, not friendship, phileo. But agape. And he says, no, I'm going to say before God and these witnesses, Will you take these people to be your children and save them? And he says the two words, I do. Jesus says, I do. I take you. And now God turns, or the minister turns to you and says, do you take him? You have to ask the question, do I take him? Do you take him to be for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, until death? And you will never part. Not with God, you won't. Because in death, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. My question to you is, do you take him? Because he said, this is forever. He says, I do. I don't know what's on your rooftop. I don't know what you put on your roof. This house is coming down today. And next week, we're going to talk about Easter, the resurrection. Jesus saying, I do. The greatest love story ever. And you could stand there and say, I'm not sure. He says, I still do. I don't want you. I still want you. I can't stand you. I still love you. I don't want your forgiveness. I can still forgive you. Your question this morning is, do you? I said this is a love story. My wife and I have been married 23 years. Almost. Just about. She's my best friend. She really is. She is my best friend because she puts up with a lot. And best friends put up with a lot, don't they? And they stay there. She's my lover. Because God has said in the Psalms, you say, well, that's a little embarrassing. Oh, should I start reading the Song of Solomon in church? We'd have to ask everybody 18 and under to please leave the room while we read the Bible. Should I read Ezekiel 23? No. And now some of you are going to go read that and go, I can't believe you even quoted that. I'm sorry. It's the Bible. She's my friend. She's my lover. She's just for looks. Yes, but more. She's just for friendship, but more. She's just forever. And we have that relationship. And Jesus wants to teach us as a family. If we're going to have a godly home, my children need to know, Mom and Dad, no matter what happens, you're forever. Thank you for being forever. And then they'll know that no matter what they do, my kids, listen, no matter what your children do, no matter what they go through in this life, no matter what decisions your kids ever make, they are forever my kids. Not at the age of 18, not when they're good kids and bad kids, not when they're in jail or out of jail, not when they're doing what I want or what I don't want. They are always my kids, and that is forever, because I said the day I wanted them to be born and I waved my palm branches and I was so excited, Hosanna, Hosanna, I've got a son. Hosanna, Hosanna, I've got a daughter. I said forever, just like I did to my wife, and we have a love story. And I've seen the greatest expression of that love story, and I've shared this before and I have to as I close. My wife's dad, one of the most incredible stories I've ever seen in my life. About a little over 8 years ago, her mom had been diagnosed. No idea what the diagnosis was, but a marriage that I watched over and over again. I thought, wow, okay, we'll see how this goes. I mean, very expressive people, her mom. Her dad, one of the most laid-back, nicest guys. I said, if people from Michigan are like this, I'll move to Michigan. We did. Because he would have a cup of coffee with anybody, anywhere, anytime, and just sit and talk with you. When he found out his wife had Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, he was given the choice. Would you like to put her in a home? Because the care for her is going to be 24-7, 7 days a week. 24, non-stop. Her body shut down. And she couldn't move. She was trapped inside of her own body. She couldn't even breathe without almost suffocating. And he had a suction thing to take the phlegm out. And he would do that. She could only blink for the last several weeks of her life. And I remember going back to visit a couple of times. And I remember going in one time and he was giving her a pedicure. This man who does tile and big tractor and drainage and sewer and septic was sitting on the end of the bed, painting pink and red and all these different things as he's doing these nails and the feet. I'm watching this and I thought, wow, this isn't because just for looks. This wasn't just for friendship. this was just forever. And they said, why don't you put her in a home? How can you even function? He says, that's my wife. There was a day I stood before God and these witnesses and said, I do. And that was in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, until death do us part. And he would do her hair. I remember as he would do her hair, just watching, thinking, here's this construction man doing hair. What men do pedicures and manicures? What men reach in and do the things that he had to do in her throat and to clear it and to talk to her and bathe her and do the kind of things that you do? And I thought, talk about the worst in life. And if there's anything worse in life, you can let me know. But I can't imagine someone being trapped in their body. Then he got an easel with letters, and he would point to letters, and she would blink to say, yes, that's a B. And then another letter. And to take 5 minutes to make a word. And he took the patience, and he would say, Thelma, I love you. Thelma, I love you. And for her to lay there, to know in her heart and in her mind and in that body, he's not going to leave me. He's not going to abandon me. In the worst hour of my life, he said, forever. And one night, he pointed out in the letters, and she said, J. E. For however long it took, they spelled out the words, Jesus, forgive me. Be my Savior. And he got down on his knees and he prayed with his wife to receive Christ, who said, in the worst hour, I will never abandon you forever. And she prayed. And for all the weeks that she couldn't talk, for all the weeks she couldn't even swallow, she began to laugh out loud. And for 3 days, God gave her laughter. What a gift. A reminder that God says, forever my love, forever my heart. We sang it. Amazing love, how can this be? That you, my God, would die for me. And Jesus at a garden, at a rock, begins to pray. And he says, I quit. And then he stops. He says, no, I don't quit. And blood begins to form in the cells. And he's so stressed at the commitment he's making that he begins to bleed blood drops onto that rock. And he says, forever, agape. I'll put a roof over your house and know this, forever. My love, forever. And so today when you wave your palm branches, just remember this. Jesus rode into his wedding, and it is a love story. It's the greatest love story ever told. And it's for you. That's a walk to remember. Let me pray with you. Father, we've taken communion today to remember the walk. We have broken the bread. We've taken the cup. We've even dedicated a little child on your behalf. Father, what a beautiful day it's been. Our children have waved palm branches. They're learning lessons in the next room about your love. But more than that, Father, as today brings to the end our series on godly homes, you know, Father, it has been my prayer every day for all of our homes that you would be the lover in our house forever. I pray that for every person here. God, you know that eats me up and keeps me awake. It gets me to jump out of bed in the morning. It causes me to just enjoy every day of life, knowing that it is your desire to ride into our lives and be the lover of our soul. Thank you. God, give us a great passion week. Give us passion. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. 2 services next week. There are no Sunday school classes next Sunday morning. God bless you. Have a great week.